This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jonas Siegel from The Athletic, Jamie Noodles McLennan, who has now officially moved to Ottawa permanently. I don't think you're ever coming home. You've been in that room. I've seen you in that room every day for about a week and a half.
And what would you do with my lighting? Like, I know we're not, I mean, we're TV people, but ultimately, like, Megan wants to crawl through the screen and choke me out, but there's nothing I can do here. I've got a window to my right, and you guys know, like, the last couple shots when I was doing Overdrive last week, it was getting too bright from the back. Like, it was awkward. Like, I thought the lighting was terrible. But, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to move into the cave here. I've got the beautiful fireplace behind me, and I've got my lighting in front so you can actually see my face. But then everyone yesterday was like, is this guy in a dumpster? Is he in a dungeon? Like,
it was pretty funny yesterday, yeah. Like, I couldn't see it as closely because I was in, like, my area.
Yeah, we were at studio.
And right with COVID and stuff, I wasn't moving around that much. I was just kind of in the back. But there were enough cameras where I could see you. And I'm like, it looks – because it was so early in the morning, too, I think. And it was a dark day yesterday. It was an ugly day in Toronto and Ottawa. So I just don't think you didn't get any help from Mother Nature or anything yesterday.
But I just did what I could.
Yeah, of course.
And then, you know, like, I'm like, okay, well, you want to at least just have a clean shot of my face, because other shots, like, if it's too bright from the side, like, my face looks like there's only half of it and stuff. So I'm like, you know, the TV people were just, they hated my guts yesterday. But I was like, this is all I can do. This is this is the best I can do here.
You've seen the Undertaker meme, I'm sure, because where he's in the background, where there's the one guy who's walking towards the ring, and there's the Undertaker in the background, and the lighting is off. That looks like what you looked like yesterday.
Well, and especially the contrast with some of the other guys, like Ray is sitting by the fire, Craig is in his office, and you're sitting in, like, the dungeon.
You were the Undertaker yesterday.
I mean, but it matches kind of my attitude and personality about being outside. Like, this is actually, this is me. Like, if you know me, I like the dark. I don't really care about the sun that much. I don't like the outdoors. I don't like bugs. Like, this is, if you open me up, this is my personality.
That's your element.
So
That's exactly where you want to be.
Noodles, have you ever gone camping?
I did. There used to be, like, back in the day, like, when I was late teens, like, you know, in junior kind of thing, there used to be a thing out in BC called Peach Fest. I bet you Myrtle would talk about it, too. They had to cancel it because it was an absolute gong show. Like, it was just basically a bunch of teenagers that would go and get drunk for a week straight and sleep on the beach and camp and stuff. I went for a weekend. And the second night, I woke up in a tent, and there was a spider just about to land on my face. Like, it was, like, just floating down. I left that night. I was like, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this.
I have no interest in that.
I don't care how drunk I am.
Yeah. Like, that kind of sounds like there's a thing called the full moon party over in Thailand. Yeah. I think it's either in Bangkok or just outside of Bangkok. Apparently, it's crazy. Like, you're talking, like, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. To the point, and there's so much going on. Like, there's fatalities almost, like, once a month.
Yeah, it's a gong show.
It's an absolute gong show. But I've never understood, like, the whole festival vibe. Like, I got a bunch of friends that love it. Like, a country, like, Boots and Hearts will roll through. They're up there for 3 days in the muck, in the tents. Yeah. I'm like, I got no interest in doing that. Like, none.
Yeah, in a porta potty. Like, I don't, I'm not a big, I don't like to. I mean, hey, your wedding was as far as I would go.
And that was in, like, cabins and hotels and stuff.
And those were beautiful places. Like, those were, you know, high-end, and it was nice.
I wouldn't say it was high-end necessarily, but it had plumbing and electricity. And, yeah, it was a part of, like, you know, modern society.
So here's a question for you guys. If you were, like, you've seen Bear Grylls, the guy, like, Survivor Man, all that stuff. Of the three of you, who do you think would last the longest?
That's a great question, because O would be terrible.
O would be done.
Terrible.
He would try calling somebody and say, I'll give you $100,000 to come build me a hotel so I can sleep in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he'd
that
pay
would be
someone off and cheat, so he'd be out.
Yeah. Hayes, you would probably last longer than I would, because I think I could figure it out, but like, I wouldn't want to.
You're more resourceful than I am. I think you're way more resourceful than I am. I think you'd be better on the technical side. Like, I have an issue getting a tent up.
Well, no. Like, you don't get anything. Like, there's.
Oh, you're talking just out in the wilderness,
yeah,
walking around?
I think the show is called Alone, and they drop you in,
like. Yes, I
know
what you're talking about.
They drop you in the middle of nothing. And, so Noodles could build himself, like, a little shelter.
Yeah, Noodles would survive the longest. Noodles would survive the longest.
Here's why I wouldn't. Is to survive, you would have to, like, kill a fish. I don't like fish.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, you know, I'd have to, like, drink sap out of a tree or something. Like, I could figure that out. But, like, I wouldn't want to do it. Like, I wouldn't eat, you know, crickets to have protein, even though, like, people are now eating cricket protein. Like, I wouldn't want to do it because I'd get grossed out. Like, I've often thought, like, if I had to have a diet of just straight fish, I couldn't be able to. I wouldn't
do
it. That
would be the end of you.
Fish.
You'd be fasting permanently, is what you're suggesting.
Like,
I wouldn't want to do it, but at some point you'd have to do it, and then I'd be okay with it. I'm okay with fish. I mean, you know,
you just
raw.
Have to kill it yourself.
Yeah, and do you know how tough that is? My reflexes. I have the dexterity of, like, there's no way I'd be able to catch one. You know,
you'd be standing. You would create a spear and be standing in the river and trying to harpoon
like
a fish,
away.
And you. Yeah. And you would hit your own foot.
I'd put myself on the IL because of a self-inflicted injury. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, who do you think would survive in this scenario? Noodles or myself, middle of nowhere.
Let's say Vancouver Island, like
Vancouver
the really remote
Island.
Part.
Yeah, remote part of Vancouver Island. You got to find a way to get to the coast and survive. You got to find, you know, some sort of town or whatever.
Shelter, food. Like, it just survive, basically, with nothing.
Noodles.
Yeah, I think
not
so,
not even
too.
Close.
I think so, too.
Not even close.
How many
o
days,
would make
though?
It, o would make it 135 yards, and he would just lie on his back with his hands and feet up in the air like a turtle, and he'd be like, that's it, I quit.
Yeah, he would.
Hayes would be stubborn enough to think he could do it, and after 3 days would be right back at the starting point.
That's the truth. I would think I've got it figured out, and then I'd be.
And you'd be like, I can do this. I'm making progress.
Yep.
Damn, I'm right where I started. What the hell? Yep. The hell did this happen?
I'd be Paulie and Christopher in the woods in Jersey in The Sopranos, and I'd be right back at where I started, and I'd need to call up
Noodles,
Tony.
Noodles would have some breadcrumb trail, and he'd end up. Noodles would end up meeting, like, Bear Grylls, the nature guy. Like, somehow he wouldn't know who he is, and then he'd be, yeah, come on, mate, I'll take you over here. And then Noodles would end up, Noodles would be in a hotel resting, and you guys would be out
in
the woods.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even know, Noodles, how you got there.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I don't know, this dude helped
totally
me.
I totally agree. You're way more resourceful. Yeah. You're way more capable of doing stuff like you wouldn't like
know.
It. No one would
I'm
like
useless.
It. But you'd get
know.
Out.
I, just...
I think you'd find a way.
It'd be tough. It
would
be tough, put it that way. Like, we were talking about it, Ray, before we get to hockey, is, like, my TV shot. I looked like I was in a dumpster yesterday. Like, I had a dark, you know, dark lighting behind me, but that's the best I could do because all of my other TV shots were so bright from behind that you couldn't see my face. So it was kind of an Undertaker vibe, and I said that's basically my personality because I don't like the outdoors, I don't like the sun, I don't like bugs. So this is basically I'm in a dungeon.
It's like Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. That's
minus the whole serial killer thing.
So
minus
I sent
the killer
a text
vibe.
Yesterday, I'm like, what the hell is with those lamps?
I thought they were decorative. Like, I'm like, oh, I'll turn these lamps on and look pretty good. But
you try, buddy.
Yeah,
A for effort. That's all it matters.
You got to think, though, like Noodles gets to Hawaii, you know, long sleeve shirt, one mock neck, you know, so it's all the way up. So you're not getting any sun. He comes out of Hawaii paler than when he went there.
Right.
You got to be the only guy
who
can do that.
Only guy in history of the island to do that. Come back paler. When he's in
By the way,
like
Jonas is here. Is Jonas in the competition too?
Oh, I'd win.
Jonas would win.
Yeah,
easily.
He'd win. Yeah.
Well, Jonas would have his protractor out, and he'd
he'd
he's a man of the environment.
He'd be eating berries and
grass. Interesting thing. The other element we haven't discussed is animals. Like the first episode I watched, Ray, the show is called Alone. The guy was gone within 3 hours because he heard like bears rustling about.
I'd panic. I'd have a heart attack if that happened. Like, that would scare the hell out of me.
A bear would look at Jonas like a Kit Kat bar. He'd be like, yummy.
Yeah. Or he'd say, that's not enough. That's not going to cut it for me. If I'm going to put in an effort, I got to go find a Hayes or an O'Neal.
Yeah. There's only one guy that could outrun the bear, and we've seen him run a 40-meter
right,
time.
Exactly. Right?
Al's brother.
Al's brother would survive with the best of them.
Al's brother, the bear would think that it's like, that's a cub. There's a little cub. Come on into the den.
He'd be nosing Al's brother over there to the side. He'd be back in the den.
Swiping right with Al's brother in the wilderness. Loving the sights of Al's brother just cruising around. Anyway, so we're dealing with another game tonight, and the game last night where the Habs, I kind of felt like the Habs had to get it, and they had a good start. They had a really good start last night. And the Leafs got back in the game. Jack Campbell finally lost the game, which was inevitable, and he took the blame. Sheldon Keefe took the blame. Everyone's taking the blame for a loss.
Yeah.
And I guess that's positive messaging in a way, because they haven't lost a lot of games recently. But you could tell the Leafs are really trying to build up momentum, but also the camaraderie, and they're really trying to let people know how much they care about each other and how great the room is. And I don't expect that to be disturbed with Foligno coming in, Riddick coming in, Hutton coming in, Nash coming in. Seems like they do legitimately have a pretty good thing going off the ice and clearly on the ice as well.
Well, I don't know much about Riley Nash, but I've never heard anything other than just good pro, does his job, does his work, you know, like never heard anything else. Foligno is, you know, people talk about him and, you know, they love the way he works, they love the way he leads, they love the way he is to people. Riddick is, was super popular in Calgary, and I mean, I watched Hutton for a couple of years here, and, you know, the guy's got a smile on his face all the time. Now, it'll help if they all play well. It'll help everybody be really in a good mood. But I don't think there's any chance really of, you know, what seems like a good chemistry in their room to be, you know, and the way guys accept their roles, that doesn't seem to be in danger at all, I don't think.
Well, and it seemed like, Ray, that was a big part of Nick Foligno. And I think we touched on it a bit the last hour. I think the conversation about their choice between Nick Foligno and obviously Taylor Hall is really, really interesting. I don't think it's so clear cut that Foligno for sure. Like, I know the fit thing is a big thing that people are talking about. Where do you kind of fall on that? Because I worry a little bit that they've maybe overcompensated for what happened last year. And I wonder if you could use Taylor Hall over four rounds when it gets really hard to score.
Well, he's got 2 goals in 37 games.
Shooting percentage, Ray, come on.
Come on, realize
okay,
who you're talking
so
to,
Okay, so go
Ray.
Back the last 3 years. He's got 29 goals and 130
okay,
whatever
well,
games.
The counter is Nick Foligno, I think, has like 7 goals.
So yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't think that you are going to need – he's got 7 goals, yeah, this year.
Right.
7-2. You can't
are we really comparing that stuff? We're not.
Yeah. Jonas keeps
no, okay,
score based
but
on expected
honestly,
goals.
I don't think I don't think people have watched Taylor Hall play. Now, maybe he was so checked out in Buffalo that he couldn't do a thing.
Well, look at who he was playing with, too. Like, he barely played with Jack Eichel. Like, the last game I watched him, he was playing with, like, I think he was playing with Casey Mittelstadt, who's a kid, and Tage Thompson. So, kids.
Right, they're both kids.
Kids.
I'll tell you, Taylor Hall doesn't do anything for me right now. Hmm. I look at a player that's broken, lost, confused. I don't see the Taylor Hall of a couple of years ago. He went to Arizona, and you can say, oh, look who he was playing there. You can always make a story up. Eventually, you're supposed to be good enough, if you make $8 million, to make a difference to the guys that you play with. Pretty clearly, he's not been able to do that. I think it's been pretty clear. I look at him like a punt returner. He gets the puck, he goes as far as he can, and then he runs out of room. And I think he does that because he's lost his way a little bit as a player. I remember Taylor Hall, yes, as a transporter of the puck, but that he would give it up and then get going and get it back. Maybe he doesn't trust the guys he's played with, because he doesn't do that anymore.
Well, look who he's played with the last few years. Like, who's the best player he's
played
with
since Edmonton?
He made
the choice to go to Buffalo, though. This is what bothers me about the narrative, and it's not only yours, Jonas, but this idea that, well, he hasn't been in the best spot. Was he not a free agent and chose to play in Buffalo?
Well,
did
he chose
I miss
to play
that?
With Jack Eichel, who has
okay,
been hurt.
Okay, but you're part of the team, though, Jonah. You don't get to guarantee who you're going to play with. And I get
Fair.
It, but Eichel
Fair.
Is...
Okay, I'm going to say this. Coming to this choice, I think it's more predictable what you're going to get from Nick Foligno than it is predictable what you're going to get from Taylor Hall.
Yeah.
He's a total wild card. Now, maybe it'll work in Boston. Maybe it'll work in... You go, man, they bought as low as you can on a player like Taylor Hall, and he was able to fit and find the right guy in David Krejci to play with, and that worked perfect for him, and that's great.
Right.
But it's a wild card.
I think that's very true.
I agree. Here's what I would say of why I like Nick Foligno to Toronto other than Taylor, is he's a different type of player.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when I look at their top, let's say they're top four, just their big four. They're all kind of the same type of player, very highly skilled, you know, different. They'll get to the middle of the ice and all that. But, you know, Hyman is a guy that everyone's been just loving because he's a different type of player that helps them. That's what I believe Nick can bring. And you said they brought in Wayne Simmonds. I think Wayne Simmonds, when push comes to shove, will be farther down in the lineup. I don't see him in the third line.
For sure.
So Wayne Simmonds in you know, over a 7-game series, I think he'll be impactful. Maybe a shift here, a shift there, one night. But like Nick Foligno is a different type of player that the Leafs don't have, and that's where I thought it's a different player that can play in your top six that you don't have to force feed, and he's miscast. Where I think if you had to put Simmonds in there, and you had to put in, you know, somebody else,
if it was Hall, you know where he's playing. Or you have to play him there, quote unquote.
You would have to play him there, which is fine. But if Hull is even at the top of his game, he's more like the other guys. He's skating. He's a skill guy. Whereas I think Nick is more of a unicorn, which that lineup needs. Because guess what? He might be. Say they play Winnipeg.
He fits that
Winnipeg's,
series for sure.
Winnipeg's. He's more impactful in that series because Winnipeg is big and they can lean on you. Like Montreal has some guys that'll lean on you. Like I think just Nick brings something different to the table that the Leafs may not have in their top six, even top nine, if Simmonds is farther down. That's my opinion on Nick. That's why I thought it was a good pick.
That's why I think you hit the nail on the head. And to play devil's advocate here, and I'll let you get in, Ray, one thing I will say about I think maybe where Jonas is going is if we're going to use different other sports as an example of this, what we've seen in the last couple of years, find as much talent as you can mm-hmm. and throw it against the wall. That's literally what the Buccaneers
That's fair.
Did.
That's
find,
what
like,
Brooklyn
Antonio
did.
Brown, and it's exactly what the Nets are doing. Aldridge, mm-hmm. you're in. Blake, you're in. Harden, you're in. Throw it like talent. Throw it at the wall,
right.
And over time we think it's going to work.
Oh, okay. So let me jump on that. I would say the criticism of the Leafs under Kyle Dubas is that it's skill, size doesn't matter, and
not anymore.
That was almost across the board.
Yeah.
Except the team that they were built most closely to or resembled the most got punted out of the playoffs in 4 games 2 years ago. And then they went and added a bunch of big plow horses. Right? Pat Maroon, Zach Bogosian,
mm-hmm.
and then Barkley Goodrow, and
Shen.
Coleman,
Shen, like they added just size. They already had the skill. And I think that's the view Toronto has taken, is that we got lots of skill. We haven't won a round ever. Maybe it's time to try something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I liked the move. That or in that regard, if we're doing a skills contest or if we're looking at points and numbers, there's no comparison. Taylor Hall's a better player. He's a more productive player. I mean, that's not even a comparison. But for this time right now, or this team at this time, I think Foligno becomes a better fit. Is it going to work? No idea. I mean, I don't know if I'm buying the chat that because Alex Galchenyuk is right. done such a good job, that changed them off a haul onto Foligno. I mean, he's got one goal.
But that's basically what they said, kind of.
No, I yeah, but do you believe everything that they say?
No.
Well, if you do, I've got a piece of land for you. You're going to love it.
Ask Mark Bergevin, say everything that comes out of his mouth. You know what I mean?
Like four trades ago, Berge wasn't making another move.
No, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, you always have to take everything with a grain of salt. I am, like, the case of Galchenyuk is an intriguing one, though. Like, he played 15-plus again last night. They're giving him opportunities, playing with the big boys, you know, a lot. And I don't trust that he's going to put himself in a position to be in the lineup game one. You know, they're giving him a lot of runway.
Well,
I'm not sure he's going to be in the lineup.
I think he's there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, if Riley Nash, I think Nash is playing. So yep. I think if you want to do the math here, and we're doing this on the fly, Foligno's playing, Nash is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Kerfoot, I believe, is playing, if he's here. Simmons is playing. Spez is playing.
Yeah.
That, like, at some point, we're going to get down to...
It comes down to, like, Joe Thornton, Pierre Engvall.
And I personally think they believe
those
in Engvall.
Guys.
I think they believe in Engvall. I think Keith and Dubas, from the Marlies to the Leafs, have given him a lot of runway this year. He's playing pretty prominent minutes up the middle.
Well, he
didn't
last night.
Not last night.
No, he didn't last night.
Yeah.
But, I mean, listen, if it comes down to who you're going to have up the middle of the ice as well. Because I think
Right now, you've got, you know, as I look at it, it's, you know, it's funny how the ball's turned over and over and over, but it's Matthews, Tavares, and then it's Kerfoot and
Riley
and Nash.
Yeah. Probably come game one. Well, that's the question. If Kerfoot is going to play up the middle of the ice, then Engvall will come out.
So much about Nash. Like, he won't have played for 6 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that was just a long-term IR move, though. I think they look at it the same. What Ray just laid out about big bodies, defending.
Oh, if he's healthy, he's in.
Like, I think he's playing.
If he's ready, he's going.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So, I agree. I just I think
they are going to get themselves into a corner here with Joe Thornton.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you do,
Ray? And that's going to be a tough one. I mean, he doesn't have a point in I don't know what.
It's like 1 in 20, something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, and he hasn't, you know, he's only got 3 goals on the year. And, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, like, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't want him to do well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's such an easy guy to like and to cheer for. But at some point, you get down to that part of the year, you can or you can't. And right now, it's just not happening.
Yeah, I think that feels like that's coming. That conversation with him is coming. And Joe Thornton's been around the block a long time. He might know it anyway. You know, if you add Foligno, if Nash is healthy and you think he's playing, that's two guys that have come in. No one's gone out, right?
Like, mm-hmm. Right.
And even they're giving Robertson a taste, too. What did you make of his game last night, Ray? He's still so young, so raw.
Yeah, but, I thought early he had lots of – he looked like a little water bug, right? He's zipping all over the place and trying to run into people. And then they got left in the lurch in the second period. They didn't. I don't know how many shifts he had, but, you know, Engvall didn't get on the ice just one time, and Simmons just a couple. Like, he didn't get on the ice much.
Right.
And then once you get benched, it's so weird. I hated when a coach would bench me for a while and then put me back in the game. Because my first thought is, thanks, pal. I've been sitting here for an hour, and you want me to get my legs going. Like, you just can't. You can't, like, it's not the car. You can't just start it up again. And so, like, the first shift Engvall played in the third period, he tried to hit somebody in the corner, but it's almost like his heart wasn't in it, his legs weren't in it. It's a really hard thing to do to come back into the game after you've been benched. You can say, oh, you're a pro and you should handle it, and you're right, you should. But sometimes your legs just don't agree.
Well, and Ray, he seems to be the guy that Sheldon Keefe kind of gets agitated with.
He puts him in the doghouse
a lot.
Yeah, he does.
Like, did you ever have a coach who you just knew, like, he doesn't really like me very much?
Oh yeah, yep. Rick Lee hated me.
How did you know?
Me. And I gotta tell you, it was mutual.
As it, like, should be in that situation.
Like, he didn't like me because I wasn't scoring. Right, like, not for a while. And I was not liking him because he decided I couldn't I couldn't play. So, I mean, it's the age-old thing. I'm like, man, you got to play me more. And he's like, you got to score. And so I don't think he personally disliked me. He hated me as a player. And I kind of liked Rick, but I hated him as a coach. And then I got traded to the Islanders, and then it wasn't a problem anymore.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's just a personal relationship, and it's all good.
Then it was like, I think the last time I talked to him, it was like, yeah, good luck. You know, that was in 1989, so I don't really know what he
thinks. A long time ago. Shout out to Rick. Listen, there's going to be decisions to be made, clearly, because you're bringing in bodies. We're also presuming health. If there's injuries or whatever, it's all a moot point. But someone is going to have – two guys are going to have a couple of difficult conversations coming their way. Mm-hmm. You know, two guys who have been playing and in the lineup. And at this point, it likely Thornton. It obviously could be Engvall. But I don't know. I'm still – the jury's out for me on Galchenyuk. Like, I need to see more before I'm convinced he's playing every night.
Yeah, I can't. I'm with you, Brian. I can't buy that stock right now. Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Know,
like, I appreciate how hard he works and how hard he's trying. Like, I'm quite impressed. But if you're going to be in the positions that he's playing and you've got one goal in 12 games, then they got to find somebody else to be there. Because that position demands more offense.
Yeah, you got to have it. It sounds like David Rittich will go tonight. So, Keith is
speaking
to the
media. Oh, that's a tough turn right there, isn't it?
Immediately.
Flew over on the plane with the fellas.
Yep, go time.
And now you're like, that is going to look bizarre. So I'm assuming, unless they got all kinds of tape out, he's going to have his red pads and everything, right?
I would think so. Noodles?
There's a company that has these high-end like stickers that change the colors immediately on your pads.
Oh,
so
cool.
I can't remember it. I've got it, like, I sent it to John Liu the other day, but there's a couple things, like, it's a company that you use these stickers for, you know, these purposes, so you don't have to spray paint your pads. So it wouldn't surprise me if they made them
decked
white or just
tonight.
A little bit of blue and white. Yeah, I think
it.
He will be.
I think the best-looking goalie after a trade was when Tim Thomas ended up in Dallas.
Dallas? He looked like a homeless guy in the net.
He looked like a rec league goalie that forgot his gear and just patched together. He had, like, I don't know, he had red pads and a brown glove. Oh, man, it was awful.
It really is the least professional-looking athlete move of all time. It's when a goalie in particular, has bad pads, bad helmet that just don't match the color codes of the new team.
Right.
It doesn't add up. Right. It doesn't work. It doesn't look right. So I guess we'll find out tonight with Rittich, but it sounds like David Rittich is going. He'll make his debut for the Leafs tonight. So we'll see how that plays out, and there's a lot going on around the NHL, so we'll watch it tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to mention this to Noodles and Jonas, but how about Hayes making his appearance on the Trade Center yesterday? First segment, it's all gambling. I'm like, this degenerate has got a book going on the desk.
I know.
And he's arguing with Johnny, too, about the amount of trades. And, like, I'm setting – so he goes, I set the number at 18.5. And I'm like, that is the perfect number, too. I'm like,
hit it right on. I think it was 16 in the end. And Johnny went over, so I took some cash off him. But I felt like Robert Duvall in the Apocalypse Now, and he's like, there's nothing better than napalm in the morning. That's me with gambling in the morning. It's 8:40 a.m. Eastern time, and I'm playing a bookie with
if we would have gone back to you and you would have had one of those gambling visors on, that would have looked awesome.
I should have had props. That's on me. I could have brought that in. I could have looked like a true degenerate in the back studio at 8:40 a.m. Eastern time talking games.
So good.
It's a perfect way to
start. Have a good one. Jonas, good to talk to you. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
You got it. There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days and the Maple Toyota Corollathon are back with rates from 0%. Shop in person by appointment or online at mapletoyota.com. Also, we should have probably thanked him while he was on the air, but Ray's been with us for 10 years as well. Today is our 10th anniversary here at 1050, and Ray has been along for the ride since day one. I have done thousands of hits with him. Like, I should find out the actual number, but it's been 10 years, 5 days a week for probably 40 weeks a year, give or take. Do the math on that. Like, thousands and thousands of hits, thousands and thousands of minutes, couple of brawls verbally, lots of laughs, and Ray is one of a kind, and we love the fact that he joins us every day. There's no one better, and we love having him on. So it's always great to have Ray with us. And Darcy Tucker, friend of the show, one of our favorites as well. He's coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, more giveaways to get to later this hour into the 6 p.m. hour, giving over $1,000 away, $1,050 away. It's been 10 years we've been on the air, and we've been lucky enough to have a bunch of people in studio when we could go in studio, including our next guest who would come in basically on an annual basis. He'd come in and do, what did he do with us, like Jerry's Percentages before, I think Confirm or Deny, goofing on Fergie a little bit. And we've had him over the phone a bunch of times over the past 13 months since we've been at home. And the sun's out, so I'm a little bit surprised he's not trying to sneak in 9. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there right now. Here is Maple Leaf legend, our good buddy Darcy Tucker. Do you have the clubs in your hands right now? Are you hands-free, or what's up, Tux?
You know what, partner? Smooth 77 today. The sun came out, and I just absolutely rinsed the boys. So they're licking their wounds until tomorrow, and I'll go home and watch the game tonight and get ready for another match tomorrow.
I like it. It's the only way to live, man. It's the only way to go. How you feeling about your Maple Leafs? Like, obviously, last night it didn't go their way, but they're red hot, and a lot of people are pretty excited in this town. How you thinking things are going to play out here post-deadline?
I'm super excited as well. You know, obviously, the addition of Foligno is great. I think that anytime you can add somebody with that amount of character and leadership, and I met him at the NHL Awards when I was down in Vegas, and both him and his brother are good people. So they've added some quality people over the deadline here, and it's exciting for all of us. You know, as alumni, I might actually put my jacket on when the playoffs come on. So I know O-Dog's got his on every day. And I wanted to say one thing, like, is it became that easy? All I need is a 5-carat studded earring and to wash my hair in the sink, and I can get a job now with you guys, or what?
Yeah, TSN's hiring, man. If you get that ring in your ear, can you believe the size of that thing? And he was
good
rocking
Lord.
It yesterday. Yeah, it sticks out.
I didn't even know. I didn't notice it until somebody pointed it out to me. I got to be honest. Like, I watch the broadcast all the time, but it just somebody's like, are we going to talk about O's earring? I'm like, I didn't
he's
even
he's got
see
the
it.
Blue steel profile, too, because he's in the back and he's looking left, so only his left ear is shown on camera, and it shines, man. It shines.
Well, it won't go down the drain when he's washing his hair. It's too big.
Can you confirm those stories? Like, he told us on the air a couple of weeks ago, he had bought a house in Carolina that he owned for 2 years. He never took one shower in the house he owned. And you were his teammate.
The human doesn't shower. Like, it's amazing. Like, after a game, like, you've just been out there, you're all over the place, you're sweating, you're drenched, and he come through the shower. He would walk by everybody, and the driplets would hit him, and he'd leave the shower. I'm like, you don't put soap on your human body, or like, you don't care, or what? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's
like a barnyard animal. Like, it just just grazes. That's it.
Going straight to the pub too, and he just like wash your hands. Like, what? Like, I don't get it. Like, he'd wash his hands in the sink, like with like the stuff you used for your face, like the shaving cream. And I'm like, what is that going to do? Go get in the shower, man.
Nope, not a part of his routine. That's not how it worked for him. 12 years in the NHL, and it just that's his reputation. That's the best part of it. That's what sticks after all these years with Darcy Tucker. And, I mean, the Leafs are in a good spot. We had your old teammate Jason Strudwick on in the last hour, and he was taking claim for all the glory years in Kamloops. He said it was the Niedermeyer-Strudwick show. So we figured we'd give you a chance to reply because I think you were the man at the end there. You were the captain. You had over 100 points 1 year.
I let – 1 year. Let's get some things straight here. Strud's was like the concierge for the team. If you needed anything, you went to Strud's. If you needed something for the house, you needed linens for your bed, he was the guy to call up and get things done for sure. Definitely not hair products, because his hair was absolutely brutal in junior. So I can only imagine what the comb-over is looking like nowadays. But he probably should take it high and tight with the Messier himself.
Yes. Yes, yeah, that's we've been advocating for that for a while, right, Noodles? You're pretty close with Strutty. You've been trying to give him that chat for quite some time.
We've been telling him he's got the palm tree attached to the top of his head and just clip it off and move on type of thing. But he's hanging on. And I remember Tyson Nash telling me a story. Strutty fought some like monster in junior, and the guy just, I mean, he came in third in the fight. I can't remember the name of the tough guy. I don't know if you were there at the time, but there was some like guy who was just going through the Western League and just chewing everyone. I don't know if it was maybe Chara. Was Chara around at that time? Like, who was the tough guys back in the day?
Chara was after me, but I don't know. Struds might have fought him at some point after I left, but there was a bunch of tough guys back then in our league, but the guy probably wasn't over 5'7". Struds couldn't fight his way out of a wet paper bag, so definitely if he was tough, Struds tried to stay away from those sort of guys. He tried to stick to his weight category, which was 160 and under.
Yeah, I don't blame him for that. That's not a bad move. I mean, we've been talking a lot about just, you know, different rinks in Ontario, and you guys are two WHL alums, and Noodles, you would talk about it back in the late 80s, early 90s, some of the mutants out there, and just the crowds. Like, what was your go-to rival out there, Darcy, in Kamloops? Yeah. Like, which building would you go to, and you realized this is going to get loud, it's going to get a little bit crazy in here, and if the benches start clearing, we might need a police escort to get out of town?
It was definitely in my time, the Portland Winterhawks. We always used to go into their building because they'd get 10,000 fans, and they had a huge rink, and they'd sell it out every game. And people didn't like me very much there, and I always liked to put on a show in that rink for sure. But back to the tough guys, I remember my first ever fight ever in my life. Like, people say all the time, oh, toxic, you like to fight. I hated fighting. I was like a goal scoring sort of guy when I came into junior, and my first WHL fight was my first exhibition game, and I hit this guy at center ice, and he was like the guy, you know, those cartoons when you hit him in the chest that he goes 20 feet the other way, his helmet popped off, and I get skating back towards the neutral zone, and the bench starts screaming at me, so I turn around and drop my gloves, and I look at him, and I'm like, why am I doing this? He's like 6'4", he's got a book out now, and it's Brant Myers, and Brant Myers took my helmet off off the top of my head and put my nose underneath my eye on my one side. And I went to the locker room after it was bleeding all over the place. And Bob Brown, our general manager, came down the room and he's like, what the heck are you doing? And I'm like, well, you told me I had to like play physical and get involved. And he's like, yeah, but not with that guy. What is wrong with you? He could have killed you. And needless to say, that was my first WHL fight. And from that moment in time, I always stayed away from Mizey because he was like, and I know he's got his book out now. And he's come a long way in a long period of time here, but what an amazing first WHL fight for me. My dad was like, are you crazy? I'm like, well, I made the team anyway, so.
I guess so, first impression, but he was a beast.
Oh, he was the hands down, he was the heavyweight champion in the Western Hockey League, was he not? For a couple years, too. Like, he was an absolute beast. Like, there were a lot of tough guys back then, but.
He's an Edmonton boy, isn't he, Noodles?
Yeah, I mean, I don't say I grew up with him, but I've known him for many, many years and had lots of, nights out with him, that type of stuff. And, you know, he's a really good guy, a quality person. I just, while we're talking, I just text Nasher to find out who Strutty beat up. And I said, who was the guy that Strudwick fought in junior that knocked his toupee off into the stands? And he goes, Mad Dog Paul Ferrone. He came in third in that fight, and the Zamboni sucked up his toupee afterwards.
it clogged the Zamboni up. We had to wait 25 minutes extra because they were trying to get it out.
It's like a Super Bowl halftime because Strutty lost his hair.
Yeah,
that's not ideal.
Doug Ferrone was only 5'4", so he had an arse whipped.
Yeah, I love it. Mad Dog. That's an outstanding
Mad
handle.
Mad Dog Ferrone. You know, yeah. A guy is a tough guy if he's got a nickname like that.
Mad Dog, like, Brant Myers. Yeah, this is great. Those were the days back then. Well, we'll see what happens with your Leafs tonight. David Rittich, I guess, is going to make his debut, and they're in a good spot. They're going back to the playoffs, and we'll see what ends up happening. But it's always great to have you on, buddy. We appreciate it, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, gentlemen. Hazy, whenever you want. We got a game, so you're my partner, and we'll take on whoever's whoever wants us.
You got it, man. Whoever's standing. I'll shoot you a note soon. We'll get out there. We'll make some cash.
Sounds good, brother. Great job, guys.
You got it. There he is, Darcy Tucker, Toronto Maple Leafs alum. And Brant Myers, I'm looking at his picture here on Hockey DB. Oh. He looks terrifying in this
picture. I just watched some of his fights. He's lefty.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a lefty, and he was about 240. Like he carried some weight, and he was an absolute killer. He could skate, too. He had good hands. If you look at his junior stats, like he could play, but he was so...
Let me read this one off here quickly. Okay, so in 91-92, which I believe was Tucker's rookie year, he spent half the year in Portland, the other half in Lethbridge. He had 359 penalty minutes in 53 games. Yeah. Like, that's basically you're fighting every game and a half, like more or less, pretty much every game and a half. And the amazing thing about like a heavyweight like that is that there are other guys in the league that have the amount of courage to say, I'm going to go you as well. Like Tucker clearly wasn't looking to fight him there. Tucker's saying he threw a hit, and then next thing you know, it was like, I don't have a choice. I've got to go. But that reminds me of Pooley's story about his first fight in the NHL. He said he fought Ron Duguay. And, Pooley, I guess, because I think Brian Burke was his agent and had been talking to him. Pooley's told this story many times and said, okay, you're coming out of college, you know, early 80s, you're going to have a reputation. Like, guys are going to start saying, I'm going to lean on you. So maybe get into a fight early in your career or whatever. Set the tone, and then it's like prison rules. Once you've decided you can fight or you're going to fight, then everyone leaves you alone. You just go play the game. And I guess he tapped on Duguay's shoulder thinking, hey, it's good guy, you know, good looking Ron Duguay, chest hair, great salad, looks like Jonas. And he tapped on his shoulder, and Duguay is a like Sudbury, like
gritty.
And he just said, before I knew it, Duguay was throwing bomb after bomb after bomb. And I guess he saw Berkey after the game, and Burke was like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, you told me to do something to set the tone. He's like, well, not with that guy. Like,
that's
figure
so
it out.
Funny. Yeah,
but that's that kind of stuff just doesn't really apply, I don't think, anymore.
No, but the game's changed. But you know, we get back to it. I know we got to go, but, like, at least if you have that mentality, and that's where a guy like Nick Foligno, Wayne Simmons, like protecting your teammates but through team toughness and just that Wolfpack mentality. We'll get back into it because, you know, I think the makeup of the Leafs, that's what everyone's talking about right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. That's I think, where we're going here. So Bob McKenzie still to come, confirm or deny, just after 6 o'clock. The Jays in action, Raptors in action, Leafs in action tonight. We'll get to all those. Some big news in the basketball world as well with a Canadian contingency to it. Not good news. We'll touch on that as well. Jamal Murray, we're thinking of him. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, more giveaways to get to this afternoon. We are celebrating 10 years here at TSN 1050. It's been an incredible decade for us. Very lucky to be here. Jonas Siegelin here from The Athletic. But, Jonas, you were a part of the day one crowd. You were down there on Queen when we opened, and you've been a big part of the station. Noodles, you and I, we've been here for a long time. I was here day one. Noodles, you were here weeks into it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool people have been through the building, a lot of cool people we've met, interviewed. We've had Jamal Murray in the building. He did work with TSN back in the day. And tough scene last night, man. He's right when he went down and when they brought the wheelchair out, you're like, this is really going to be an issue. And the news broke today, Jamal Murray torn ACL, done for the year. And it's not only about Denver, which – this completely changes the complexion of the Western Conference, because now Jokic is still a stud, but I don't think he can do it on his own. I don't trust a lot of teams. Like, I think Utah's been building towards this. Utah's got a shot, but if the Lakers are healthy, they're clearly the favorites. If Kawhi and George and the other pieces they brought into the Clippers are available and healthy, I think the Clippers are likely right there with them. I don't trust Phoenix. I think they're still too young. Dallas, not good enough. Portland, they can shoot. I don't know if they can defend. This is a big change, and furthermore, on top of this, the Canadian Olympic pursuit takes a massive hit because Jamal Murray's not going to play now,
right?
So I'm not sure Canada was going to punch their late ticket anyway to the Olympics, but I'm not – now it's tough to believe without Jamal Murray. He was the man on that team, going to be the man.
I don't even know if there's a – I guess Brooklyn's the favorite right now for the NBA title?
Yeah, I think so, yep.
But other than that, you're right.
It's kind of wide open, you're right, but, like, it's just, you never want to see a guy get injured. Like, it's just, you know, regardless of...
Especially right now.
He's rolling, they're rolling, and it ends your season. Like, it's not just a 4 to 6 week. Like, torn ACL, you're done.
Yeah.
Right? You're done. And that can that sport, he'll grind, he'll battle back.
Right, but it can affect the way you even come back.
Right.
You know,
how you rehab, how you play.
Exactly.
You should watch Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman came back from the torn ACL quite well.
It's worked out pretty well for him.
Well, he worked hard.
Don't get started. Don't go down that path with noodles, Jonas. We don't talk about Zach Hyman anymore on this show. It leads to too many fights and too many battles. Final hour coming up. Confirm or deny. Bob McKenzie, more giveaways. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits. FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.